On the record and the tape that the choir has, the choristers have one of the numbers. The cover design is done by Joyce Suttle in our choir, and she's taken the motif of the window circle there, the circle in the window, and done that. And she's a very talented lady. She's musically inclined and wrote an anthem, which our choir sang some months ago. We appreciate the important role she's had in the production of the choir record and tape. It's a wonderful season. I want to thank all of the officers and others who've been on the prayer chain and praying with our family. Our number two daughter delivered a little boy 2 months early, 4 pounds and 4 ounces, and we were in Columbia yesterday to see the little fellow, and he's doing exceedingly well. And my comment was, if you can get Presbyterians praying, anybody's going to do exceedingly well. And so the little baby really is doing well. I appreciate all the prayers. His name is Jeffrey Allen, and it's our fourth grandchild. Can't keep up anymore. It was kind of interesting. At the middle service, the people doing the Advent candle lighting was the Fullstone family, and he's the station manager for KHTR. It used to be KMOX FM. And some years ago, Bob Highland invited me to do an early morning religious program on KMOX FM. People who found out I was on there, other ministers, called and said, "How do you get on that station?" I said, "Well, you have to be asked." I said, "You can't pay for it." So we're the only religious program on that station, have been for many years now, at the invitation of Mr. Highland. Anyway, Bob Fullstone is the station manager, and it is now KHTR, which is the top rock station in St. Louis. And my 16-year-old daughter cannot believe her father is on the best rock station in town. Anyway, it's kind of interesting. We have a special program. It's on in your bulletin under number 13 towards the end. A program designed for children where divorce is occurring. The program is entitled The Broken Rainbow. And it's designed for the children kindergarten through sixth grade of people who are going through divorce. And a program tied in with it is entitled Just Me and the Kids, designed for the parent of children of broken homes. If you fall into that category, and I know most of us have friends or neighbors or loved ones who are going through this difficult process, let me urge you to take this bulletin home and show them that and urge them to register for that. That would be worth their while. I love the Christmas season. We had a couple of weeks ago all of the officers and their wives over for an open house. I think we had about 150 there. Then Friday night, we had all of the staff and their spouses over. Some of them were out of town, but I think we had 55 for dinner. I didn't cook. But I have discovered what the word Yuletide means. It's that time of year when your wife tells you there are a tide of things to do, and you'll do this, and you'll do that. It's a wonderful... She went out there. This is the truth. She went out and bought my Christmas present from me to her. And I said, "What did I buy you?" She says, "I won't tell you." I said, "What do you mean you won't tell me?" She said, "Christmas presents are supposed to be a surprise." Can you believe that? She can go back and buy a shirt size 6 to 8. Is that it? Okay. If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 1. We're We're going to begin reading at verse 26. And we're going to read through verse 38, a part of the Christmas story. Now, we believe that the Bible is the only infallible rule of faith and practice, the only way to know without any doubt what God wants us to believe and how He wants us to live our lives, to know His will, to know His way. We go to His Word. Listen, hear what God has to say to you in this portion of Holy Scripture. In the sixth month. Now remember, in the passages above, God is fulfilling some of His prophecies from the Old Testament. And a man named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, who are both old now, are in the process of having a child whose name will be John. And he will become John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. And Elizabeth is related to Mary. And Elizabeth's now in her sixth month. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, since I have no husband?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your kinswoman, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Coming to church early this morning for the 8:15 service, I was listening to a radio station that plays religious music on Sunday morning, and a Baptist minister who's a friend of mine has about 1 minute. He comes on and gives a little semi-devotional, and he was talking about the virgin birth and what a miracle it was, saying that the virgin birth was the cornerstone of the New Testament. And I got to thinking about the fact that many people say, "Well, I don't believe in Jesus," or "I don't believe He was the Son of God because I don't believe in the virgin birth." But, you know, with modern medical science today, a person who is a virgin can have an egg fertilized and can actually bear a child. A person can even have an egg and a sperm from other persons fertilized and implanted in her body. And, you know, we kind of take that for granted today. Now, I don't understand why people have problems with God, who created the whole process anyway, why they have problems with God doing a miraculous thing with Mary. And, you know, that little bitty thing of a miracle doesn't bother me. The miracle I have trouble with is believing that the God, the creator of the universe, loves you and me enough to do it. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And Mary said, you know, here she puts herself at God's disposal, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And this rather interesting statement, "And the angel departed from her." Our meditation is entitled, "When the Angels Don't Stick Around." Our text is this last verse we read, And Mary said, Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word. To his name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Father, as we think together about this incredible event, the event of God's love breaking into the human arena, the scripture Bill read that Jesus came and pitched his tent among us, the Word made flesh. As we think about that, give us insights to help us in our lives. For we ask it in the name of the Savior. Amen. This time of year, angels get an unusual amount of attention. In the Christmas story, there are several instances when we read about the appearance of angels. You get Christmas cards with pictures of angels on them, and perhaps some of you have an angel hanging on your Christmas tree. Dr. Billy Graham says angels are God's secret agents. And you may not know it, but you speak Greek. When you say angel, you're speaking Greek, because the word angel is simply the Greek word angelos, transliterated into English, and it just means messenger. But this morning I want to raise a question about these messengers, these secret agents of God, and the question is this. Are those angels cowards? Now, there's a good reason to ask that question. You see, angels are always telling somebody else what to do, but they never do it themselves. When I was a young boy, there was a kid in our community who could think up more devilment than any five people I ever knew. But he not only had a tremendous knack for thinking up trouble for all of us to get into, but he was equally adept at never getting involved himself. His name was Ural Cordell Wright, and he went by UC. I don't blame him. If I had that name, I'd go by UC too. And I've often wondered how the rest of us could be so stupid to do the things he thought up. And he was never the one to get caught or be punished. Have you ever known somebody like that? I suspect most of us can remember someone in our background like that. Now, most of the folks in our little community thought that the majority of us young folks would end up in the reformatory. But they thought, you see, our real leader was a fine young angel. Well, in retrospect, maybe he was, because he was much like the angels in the New Testament. Angels were always telling other folks what to do and how to do it. But once they got you in trouble, the Bible always says something like this, and the angel departed. Have you ever heard someone say, he sounds like an angel, or she has a voice like an angel? Well, let me remind you of how an angel sounds. Picture this scene. Peter's in jail, asleep. An angel appears. Now, notice how the angel sounds. Now, I'm quoting from Scripture. He struck him on the side and woke him up, saying, Get up quickly. Now listen to the same angel, same place, same situation. Dress yourself and put on your shoes. And then wrap your coat around you and follow me. Now my mother must have been an angel. That's exactly how mother sounded. Son, get up. Get dressed. Put on your shoes. Wear your coat. Did your mother sound like that? Now, Peter's experience with the angel wasn't unique. When the angel appeared to Gideon in the Old Testament, he said to Gideon, "Gideon, get up and go." When Elijah was feeling sorry for himself because he had been chased off into the wilderness by Jezebel, the angel comes and he says, "Elijah, get up." When Philip the evangelist saw the angel said to him, "Philip, arise and go." Well, that's how angels sound. They're always thinking up things for other people to do. Get up. Hurry. Get going. So one of the first things we notice about angels is how they sound. They sound just like my mother, always telling me what to do. Now, the second thing we notice about the angels is that they never manage to be out front where the action is. The angels are never on the firing line. Let me give you a few illustrations. For example, I mentioned Gideon. The angel says, "Gideon, get up and go." And Gideon ends up against a horde of Philistines with just 600 men. Or here's Peter. Here's Peter in prison. I told you about him earlier. The angel wakes him up. He frees him. He leads him past the guards out into the street. Now, on the surface, you think, hooray for the angel. But consider this. Until the angel woke him up, the only thing Peter is guilty of is a misdemeanor for street preaching about Jesus. But now, standing there on the street corner, his situation is quite different. Now he's an escaped convict. He's a jailbreaker, a fugitive from justice. Now he's really in hot water. And what does the Bible say? It says, "And immediately the angel left him." Maybe that angel was a coward. Or take the shepherds out there in the field doing their job, minding their own business, not bothering anybody. And the Bible says the angels appear to them and tell them of the miracle in Bethlehem. And they hurry off, leaving their sheep out there, to see this miracle. And sure enough, it's just as the angel said. They find the baby in a manger. And so the shepherds begin to spread abroad what had happened. And the Bible says all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Well, can you blame people for wondering? Wouldn't you have? Can you imagine the shepherds, one of them stopping his friend on the street and says, "Mordecai, let me tell you what the angels told me." And Mordecai says, "Sure, Benjamin. You've been drinking on the job again." Everybody wondered at what the shepherds told them. But listen, all the shepherds have to do is to get the angels to confirm everything they say, right? Wrong. The Bible says the angels went away from them into heaven. Why? Were the angels cowards? Well, let's take one more illustration. It's from our scripture for this morning. The angel appears to Mary and tells her what is going to happen. He says that the Holy Spirit will come upon her and the power of the Most High will overshadow her and she will conceive a son. There's just one little insignificant hitch. Mary's not married. She's a virgin. According to the Old Testament law, if you remember it, an unmarried, pregnant woman is to be stoned to death. But Mary loves the Lord. She trusts Him. So she says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." She puts herself at God's disposal. But let me ask you, honestly now, would you like to be in Mary's shoes? Who's going to explain this to the man she loves, Joseph? Who's going to explain it to her family, her friends? But what does the Bible say about the angel? It says, "And the angel departed from her." Well, that figures. By now, we're not at all surprised. Those angels must be cowards because they never stick around. But before we get too critical, let me remind us of the function of angels and the meaning of the word angel. Angel means simply messenger. That's all. Now, it's true that sometimes angels have some very specific duties that God gives them. For example, the Bible tells us that sometimes an angel may be an agent of God's will. An illustration of this is when the Lord sends an angel as His agent to destroy the wicked city of Sodom. However, the primary function of an angel is simply to be the messenger of God to someone. Now, that may come as a disappointment to many of us when we find life hard and tough. When the going really gets difficult, what we often hope for is for God to send an angel to stand between us and trouble. And yet the fact is the basic duty of an angel is to be a messenger. And when the angel says, get up, do this, do that, go here, go there, get going, he is simply relaying God's word to us. Now let me tell you something. It's tough knowing what God wants you to do, or where He wants you to go, or how He wants you to act. Do you ever feel sometimes that you really wish you didn't know God's will for your life? Do you ever wish you really didn't know what was right or what was wrong in a particular situation, and that you really didn't know what God wanted you to do? That would be nice sometimes, wouldn't it? It's true in my life, and I'm sure it's true in yours. When we face some problem, some decision, some action, and we don't know for sure what God wants us to do, we can do the wrong thing and say, oh, I didn't know any better. Or we cannot do anything and say, well, I didn't know what was right. But when you know what God expects or wants or demands, when there's absolutely no question as to what God wants, then you have to make a hard decision. You have to decide whether you're going to do God's will or not. That's why I never thought a lot about the Ten Commandments. You know, it's pretty clear, pretty specific. Thou shalt not. And we know God's will. And the only question is, will you obey or will you disobey? Take Mary, for example. It wasn't until the angel made clear God's decision for her. It wasn't until the angel made God's will known to her that she had to make a decision. Up to then, no decision to make. But when she knew, she was faced with a tough choice. Would she be obedient or would she be disobedient? Now, fortunately for the world, Mary responded, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. And notice this. The angel had done his job. He had conveyed God's message. His task was over, and the Bible says he departed. Now, I suppose from Mary's perspective, she would have preferred for the angel to stay. He could respond to the questions people would ask. He could stand between her and the critics. Why, an angel could find a better place to have a baby than a cattle stall. An angel could have stood between the Holy Family and the swordsman of Herod who came to kill the Messiah. But no, the angel's job was done. Now, Mary's job was to bear the consequence of her obedience to the Lord. Let me say it again. Mary's job was to bear the consequence of her obedience to the Lord by putting her trust totally in God, not counting on angels to protect her. Does that make sense to you? For example, picture Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying earnestly to God, sweating as it were drops of blood. Before Him lies the rejection, the scourging, the cruel cross, and the agonizing death. And as He prays, the Bible says an angel comes and ministers to Him. And yet when the soldiers arrive to take Him, when the time comes to endure the scourging, to accept the ridicule, to drag that heartbreaking load of the cross up Calvary's hill, to be nailed to it and crucified, no angel came. No angel stood between him and his murderers. No, he had to bear the consequence of his obedience to God. And he had to bear it alone. Our meditation this morning is a one-point meditation, and here is the one point. There is no magic. There is no miracle, no angel to deliver us from the consequence of our obedience to God and to God's will for our lives. We might wish it were so. We might long for an angel to come and deliver us from the consequence of our obedience. But no, our faith, our loyalty, our obedience must come simply because we love Jesus, not because we're delivered from the consequence of obedience. It must come because we trust the Lord and because for His sake who bore our sins, we're willing, as the Bible says, to bear all things, believe all things, endure all things. We don't really need an angel, do we? Is there trouble in your family? Is there tension between you and your spouse? Don't you really know what an angel would say to you? Is there trouble between you and your children? Misunderstandings, poor relations, unforgiveness? Do you need an angel to tell you what to do? Really? Is there conflict between you and a friend or a neighbor or a business associate? Don't you really know God's will without an angel to tell you? Is there a need to get your financial stewardship in order before God? Do you need an angel to come and tell you what God expects of you in terms of your financial stewardship? Are there some things in your life this morning that are wrong, some things you shouldn't be doing? Some things you're ashamed of. Some things you ought to stop. Some things you ought to get out of your life. What do you want an angel to say? Are there some attitudes you have? Some biases? Some bigotry? And don't we know God's will about those things? We don't need an angel. Oh, how the world needs changed men and women. People who love Jesus, who are obedient to the Lord, who lead holy lives, and no angel can do it for you. Let me shift gears for a moment. Let me be an angel for a moment. An angel says, do this, do that. After the second service, a lady said, I never knew my husband was an angel till now. Let me be an angel. Give you a message from God about something God wants you to do. Christmas is almost here. We're celebrating the day God gave the world what? A Savior. Do you think people need a Savior this morning? Was Christmas needed? Oh, it was indeed. There are lost people. There are desperate people. There are hurting people who need to know about Jesus, who need to hear the good news of God's forgiveness and love. There are people who desperately yearn to know that somebody has done something about the sin in their lives and who need to know that they've been freed and forgiven and that burden can fall away because they're born again, a new chance. Yes, there are people who need to know that God loves them and cares for them. And who will tell them so? Yes, there are people who need to know that God loves. Let me ask you this question. If an angel came and stood right here before us this morning, what would he say to you and me about Jesus and about the world he came to save? Wouldn't the angel just say to us, get up, get going, hurry? On January the 10th, Friday night, we're having a clinic to teach people how to share their faith. As God's angel, I say to all of us, get up, sign up, hurry, get going. That's what Christmas is all about. Yes, God wants holy men and women who live lives of obedience to Him, trying to do His will. As Mary put it, putting herself at God's disposal, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Above all, Christmas is a time when God wants people to reach out to a lost world and tell them that a Savior has been born. And if the job isn't getting done, if we're not living holy lives, if we're not sharing the incredible good news that a Savior has come, there is a coward around, somebody who's not sticking around to tell about Jesus. But I'll tell you one thing. It's not the angels. Let us pray.